UAW members gathered this week in Detroit to let local delegates vent and air their views about what the union should demand in contract talks with U.S. automakers later this year. Right in the center of the union's bullseye, the two-tier pay system in place for the last 8 years. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here. And Daniel, this is not in the least bit surprising to anyone, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, this was a pay scale that was put in 2007 and kind of suffered through the recession and on the other side came out and did what it was supposed to do, which was enable the companies to hire a lot of people and bring them in, and they brought them in at a lower wage. And it was really part of the comeback we've seen in Detroit. And now I think there's a lot of sturm und drang about the fact that they do exist and companies, I mean, Chrysler's got 44% of their hourly workforce is working at a lower wage.
And as you point out in your piece for the Detroit News, this two-tier system is an affront to everything the union stands for. But then the reality is, without that concession by the union, a lot of these workers may well have had no jobs to go to at all.
Well, I think that's right, and we don't know where the companies would have been. And I think what's even more important is what some of their investment decisions would have been. I mean, we've talked on your show before about the state tax credit hangover that the state is now dealing with. This is over $9 billion in tax credits that were mostly given out to auto companies coming out of the recession. Those were part of the decision-making process by the companies to invest in Michigan plants. So was, and so were, I should say, the second-tier wages. And they put all that stuff into the soup, as it were, when they make these investment decisions. And now there's a lot of upward pressure on the companies to close the gap and also give base wage increases to what they call the legacy workers. And given the amount of money that GM, Ford, and Chrysler, particularly GM and Ford, have been making in the United States over the last 4 or 5 years, I don't see any way they get out of these negotiations without, frankly, coughing it up.
Because the union certainly wants to regain that lost ground. But how does that happen without the automakers falling back into those same kinds of contracts that drove them into the ground in the first place, the ones that had them paying way more for labor than their foreign non-union counterparts?
You know, the companies got into trouble for a whole lot of reasons. And it's not fair to hourly workers or to the union to say, hey, it was all their fault, because it's frankly, it was not. And it's also important to note that their hourly workforce is, as a percentage of total workforce, is much smaller than it was before the collapse. So giving the kind of raises that they'd be talking about is less expensive and less costly to these companies than it would have been in the mid-2000s or certainly in the 90s or the 80s. GM and Ford particularly go into these negotiations about $10 an hour all in, more expensive than both Chrysler and Toyota and Honda in the United States. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to keep that gap at least where it is and not let it go larger. And they're making near-record profits. Almost all the profitability of GM and Ford, for example, is coming from the United States. And when it comes to the UAW, the only profits that matter in terms of calculating profit sharing and anything else are what they do in the United States, not what they do in China or anywhere else in the world.
I have to throw this in, considering that we've got the talks opening up this summer and the climate is different. Half the states in this country now are right-to-work states. So is the union in an overall much weaker position than in bargaining from past years?
Well, I think you could argue that. I've been getting some email traffic from some members that suggest that they're very much aware of right-to-work, and I think that they, at least this may be some locker room bravado on the part of some people, but they're basically saying that if they can't get the union can't give them the kind of deal they think they deserve, they would opt out of the union. And that would hit the union in where it hurts, which is in the pocketbook in terms of dues. So a lot of what's going on here is it's all about the money. You have to kind of follow the money, and not only the money that goes to members, but also what goes to the union, what kind of impact you're going to have on dues lines. When you're paying somebody less, fewer dollars an hour, the union gets fewer dollars an hour in dues from those people. So it's all a big pot of soup is the best way I can put it.
Yeah, a very interesting pot of soup that's going to be simmering through this year. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.